And if you have a Bible with you, could you just lift it in the air, please? However it comes, electronic devices, paper copies, manuscripts. Man at the back with a slate, good, it's all good. We're going to be turning to the Word of God today. And I want you to know, if this is unfamiliar to you, if you're a visitor or a guest here, or it's your second or third time, and we want you to know we believe what the Bible says. We believe the Bible is God's Word to us. We believe He revealed Himself. First of all, He spoke, and He spoke to man who wrote it down, and now we believe it is the inerrant, that is, there is no error in it, Word of God. Now, if you haven't got a Bible with you today, just as we turn to some scriptures, I'm sure there'll be someone close to you who will just be able to show you. I want you to be able to see what we're looking at today. I'm going to put one scripture on the screen behind me in just a little while, but I want you to know that what is in here as a church, we believe this to be the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Turn with me, please, to Romans 15, 13. This is a key verse for us. This is a key verse for us because it shows us something of God's heart for humanity. This is a real key verse. What's our purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I here for? This is a really good verse, a key verse to say, maybe I don't know all the specific details, but this one thing I know, that's what I'm called to do. Amen. So we're going to read it now, okay? So I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It simply says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That again. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Jesus came and He lived this life which really lived out that scripture. He lived in such a way that He was so full that wherever He went, He overflowed and situations changed. Now you and I are called to do exactly the same. God's plan for us was simply this. I'm looking for a people that I can fill with myself, with all joy, with all peace, which are principles of the kingdom of God, which the book called Romans tells us. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for people I can fill so much that wherever they go, they simply overflow. Amen. And we all like that bit. We all love the, oh, Lord, I want to overflow. And we all love the, oh, I want to be filled. But we saw last time there's an anchor that it's as you trust in Him. And we can sometimes miss that on the first or second time we read this. But the truth to this scripture, the truth to unlocking the life that Jesus has for you and for I is this. First of all, I have to trust Him. We say it another way. First of all, I have to believe in God. I have to believe that He's real. I have to believe what He says about me is true. I have to put my trust in Him. And as you trust in Him, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and all peace, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may overflow with hope. You and I are called to overflow with hope. And God knows each of us so well, and He knows the situations where we are. He knows the streets where we live. He knows the people that we come into contact. He knows it all so well. It's orchestrated by a great God who we've been singing about. He knows it so well that you're in exactly the right place that you need to be. And that the people that you touch, the people that you come into contact, are the very people that God intends for you to overflow in hope to. Amen. And to that end, as you trust in Him, He fills you with all joy and all peace. The key is to trust the Lord, and that takes faith. Yes. That takes faith. Not wishy-washy, I hope it's true, cross my fingers, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, let it be, Lord. No, I'm talking about faith in God, believing not what my eyes see, not what the news headline readers tell me, faith in God that He is good all the time and that everything He does is good. Amen. And we've been learning a lot about faith. And if you've missed any weeks, you can simply go to the website and you can see just everything we've been saying about faith. Go there, treat yourself. It's a great thing. Just feed yourself on what the Word of God is saying. God's been teaching us about faith. You see, faith, when it comes to God, is absolutely certain. Amen. God doesn't talk to us in platitudes or sentiments. He doesn't just come and like tickle us on our bellies and tell us nice things that may or may not be true. God speaks truth. And we heard that this morning when Florence came to testify, her daughter was going in for a serious heart operation because they were concerned of what they would find. And God spoke to her and said what? I will go ahead of the surgeons. God spoke, God spoke, God spoke. And Florence said, I believe you. I've seen no change with my eyes. I can't see into my daughter's heart. I can't see what it is you're doing, but you've spoken and I receive faith. I believe it's true. Her daughter goes under the knife. It's supposed to take 2 hours. Within an hour and a half, she's already back out. The doctor's saying, we found nothing. Amen. The doctors are amazed, but Florence can stand there saying, of course you found nothing. Because God had said, I will go ahead of the surgeons. It's called faith. If God has given you a word, it's yours. It's not unwavering. It's not dependent. If God has said you can have it, it's already yours. James spoke a few weeks ago from Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is the substance. That word substance in the Greek is a wonderful Greek word. I shan't pronounce it to you today, but it simply means this. It means your deed of possession. If somebody tries to come and take my house away from me, says, you're living in my house, I can simply say this. I'm not living in your house. This house belongs to me and my wife, and here is our title deed. And it states that Zoe and I are the owners of that house. That's what that word substance means. And if God says this is yours, then you can say, it's not that it's coming one day. No, by faith, this is my title deed. Health, God says, health is yours. Say, then it's mine. Prosperity, a job promotion, success at school, success in your studies. If God says you'll have it, you do everything, you work hard, you apply yourself. We're not lazy. But if God has said it, I believe it, that settles it. Here's my title deed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And you have to lay hold of it by faith. And so we've been teaching you about faith. And 2 weeks ago, before the snow, Roger was here. Anybody here hear Roger Obi speak? He spoke about how we've each been given faith, a measure of faith. And he spoke about two aspects of faith. That first of all, faith is a gift. So you have to receive it. You have to use it. But he also spoke about faith as a weapon. Who remembers that he spoke about faith from Ephesians 6, that we can pick up the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts. And he walked around. I know some of you remember it because you were scared to death, because he was walking around with a fire extinguisher, pointing it. But faith is a weapon. Faith is something that you have to use. Faith in that sense isn't dormant. So again, coming back to Florence's testimony just this morning, situation, circumstance comes across. She feels, I just need to fast and pray. That doesn't mean you starve yourself for no reason. It means you say, Lord Jesus, I'm just going without food because I want you to know you are everything to me. And in the moments that I would be eating, I'm going to give you that time. It's not going on hunger strike, trying to twist God's arm that I'm not going to eat another biscuit until you do something. It's working in faith. It's working out to that very end. And as she heard the word, oh, Lord, yep, you're right. I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. And as she prayed, God spoke a word. And who knows, because she didn't elaborate on all the doubt that would have come in. All the other voices that would have come in saying, she's got serious problems. What are they going to find when they open her up? What are they going to find when they look into her heart? She had to use her gift of faith as a shield and say, I'm just extinguishing every fiery dart of the enemy that comes. Don't let anything ever try and neutralize your faith, but pick up the shield of faith and extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Because if God has said it, it's yours. We've got to be a people now who use our faith and put our faith to work. Because be in no doubt, if God speaks faith, doubt will come. Because there's someone else who doesn't want you to cling to faith. There's someone else who wants to shake you, but he's nothing compared to our God. And he's a liar and a cheat and a thief. He's an accuser. And we have a shield of faith from our God. Who here, since Roger spoke, And you remember at the end, we had a time of ministry and some people came forward, but all of us were involved in just lifting our hands and we were able to speak to situations and God was able to speak into our lives. And God spoke to me about a situation. I was able to share it with my wife. This is what God said to me in that moment. Now, who here in the last 2 weeks has had their faith challenged by something? You hear from God? I believe it, Lord. I believe it, Lord. But then, since then, something hasn't changed, or a voice of doubt comes in, or a situation rises up, you think, what's going on here? That happened to me. So what do? You pick up the shield of faith. Church, I want you to understand, we're not here to preach 52 messages a year. Who here is a parent who's ever told your child to do one thing one time and they did it straight away? Teach me your ways. God knows what we're like. He knows, like, I'm going to tell you this Sunday. Yeah, that's great. Oh, awesome. I love that word. That was great. Next week, what did they talk about last week? I have no idea. I really don't know. It's gone. It's gone. But we'll get another one this week. God is ministering to us on faith. On faith. On faith. On faith. Now, I make no excuses. I'm going to preach pretty much the same word to you this morning that I spoke to you 4 weeks ago. Because God wants us to know that we are a people of faith and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that faith is not dormant. These aren't just nice little things you can put in a notebook. We want you as a church and us as a leadership to be so equipped with what God is saying that when doubt comes in, when circumstance doesn't seem to change in the light of what God has said, that we are not shaken because he is not shaken, and we can pick up the shield of faith and say, I'm not having it. God has said a word. It's mine. Here's my title deed. So I stood here 2 weeks ago and the Lord spoke to me about a situation. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I shared it with Zoe. This is what the Lord has said to us about this situation. Wonderful. 3 days later, a bolt out of the blue, and it looked like that word had been nullified. I think, what? What do you do? Will we do what we're being taught? No, that's not what the Lord has said. That's not what the Lord has said. We have to put into practice. The word James chapter 1 talks about those who are hearers of the word and those who are doers of the word. Church, we are to be doers of the word. And so a few weeks ago, I spoke to you about hearing. Anybody remember that? Anybody here? God is a speaking God. He speaks to us. He speaks to us all the time. He speaks to us through his word from Genesis to Revelation, the first page and the last page, and everywhere in between are rammed full of God, the creator and sustainer of all things, speaking. Amen. And he looks for people to speak to. He's speaking all the time. He's looking for people who will hear. And then Roger linked the two together last week and talked about from this scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So again, we've got to put these things into practice. He's speaking all the time. And just as I said 4 weeks ago, God is speaking to you now just as clearly as the music which is in this room. Coming out again. Okay? This is you. It's a little portable radio. It's a Panic RF -2400. Yeah. And I love it. It's absolutely brilliant. And this is you. This is me. God is speaking all the time. But sometimes that's just how we feel. It's a lot of static. It's a lot of crackling. But he gives us things that we can do to help ourselves. Oh, yeah. Now we're cooking. Things already been to clear up? Huh? And you spend time with God because faith comes by hearing. And you have to tune in because there's so much noise out there. Crackling, voices of distraction. And then the clear voice comes through. Of K-pop or whatever that is. It was better over here. God is speaking all the time. The you know, this room, if we could see them, this room is absolutely jam-packed I don't know the technical terms, but sound waves, radio waves, they are bombarding all the time. You have phones, you have iPads, you have computers in this room. There are signals binging all the time. Wherever you go, they're there. When you're in your car, signal, 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 signals. All we have to do is say, you know what? I'd like to listen to that signal, and I just need to tune in. And God is speaking all the time. He really is. He's speaking all the time. We've just got to be a people who say, you know what? That's right, I believe it. Now I just need to learn how to tune in. And it comes in different ways. It comes in that scripture you read in the morning or in the evening or something you see and you think, wow, that wasn't just part of my daily reading. The Lord just spoke to me. That's a verse of hope. That's just, Lord, how did you know I needed to read that this morning? Or the speaker gets up or someone in life group shares something. And it's again, it's just, wow, how did you know I needed to hear that? A song comes over the radio and it's completely got nothing to do with anything you're listening to, but then you hear one word or a line and it can be a praise and worship song or it can be your favorite song on the charts, whatever it is, but God speaks to you. You can be going for a walk or going for a drive and God shows you something because he's such a creative God. Think, wow, Lord, how did you know I needed to see that? Because he's speaking all the time. And if you want to be someone who hears the word of God, then you can only get it by spending time with him and learning how to cut out of the static. Now, last time I was here, I gave you three little illustrations from my life. And someone said to me afterwards, oh, well, they weren't the most spiritual examples you could have given. Well, I think what you mean by that is they weren't examples that happened on a Sunday morning. And that was the truth of it. Because we need to learn that God is not contained here on a Sunday morning. This is... We keep God in a little box on a Sunday. Speak to me on a Sunday, Lord. And then we get through. Monday, we're good. Tuesday, we're okay. Wednesday, we're struggling. Thursday, flagging a bit. Friday, I'm shattered. Saturday, Sunday's tomorrow. Sunday, Sunday! Shot in the arm. Faith! And I'm good. God wants us to learn that he doesn't just operate 2 hours on a Sunday, 2 hours on a Thursday night or a Friday night or a Wednesday night, whenever you get together. God is speaking all the time. And so I've been asking God, Lord Jesus, just speak to me. And it's funny what he reminds me of, because God guides us in paths of righteousness. That's what Psalm 23 says. But how can he guide us if we don't hear? A few years ago, I was about to go to Covenant College, which I can heartily recommend to anyone. And I was getting things ready, so we're in the year 2000. The problem was, I was living off-site. Covenant College was in the Midlands, and there was about a 35-minute drive away. I didn't have a car, and nobody else that was going to the college lived in the village that I was living in. So I said, Lord, I need a car. And God had provided everything for me to get there. But I said, Lord, I need a car. And I've worked hard. I was getting all kinds of crazy jobs. I spent the summer working in a fiberglass carpet factory because you do what you have to do to get some money. And I had £700 in my pocket. And I said, Lord, I need a car. And I was at church in Living Rock in South Leicester. And I was just praying before the Lord. Lord Jesus, you know my needs. I love you, but I need a car. And actually, we start in a couple of weeks at Covenant College, and I can't actually get there. So the Lord said to me, this afternoon, Dave, take a walk with me. Take a walk. Okay. So I had my lunch, and I went out. And as I began to walk, I was a bit kind of like, okay. Now, if I could describe the place where I lived, it was a new-build housing estate. You could walk for a long time following every pavement and not get very far. One of these places, the pastures in Narborough. And so I stepped out onto Hardwick Road, and I said, all right, got to the end of the driveway. Which way, Lord? Really? Which way? And the Lord said, turn right. Said, okay, this sounds exciting. And off I went, turning right. And as I began to walk, it's a big, long road to get to the top of the hill, the Lord began to say, you need a car. Yeah, I need a car. What kind of car do you want? I said, Lord, I've got a PlayStation. And I really like those rally games. And I really liked, and I'm not a car person at all, which I shared with you last time. But I really liked the Vauxhall Astra Mark II because I drove one in my rally game. And this is what it looked like, okay? This is a Vauxhall Astra Mark II. This is the year 2000, okay? Just go with me. And so I just begin, and I'm walking around the pastures estate of Narborough. And every junction I came to, okay, now, Lord, where? Turn left. Okay, turn left. Okay. So I just began walking. Where now, Lord? turn left, okay? Turn right. Every time I came to any kind of junction, I said to the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go now? And left, right, left, straight on, carry on, left, right, straight, left, right, straight on. I was walking for 2.5 hours and the faith level was waning, as was my energy. Like, Lord, at least take me by a shop for a Snickers or something. I mean, I'm flagging. I was beginning to get a little bit cross with God. I don't know if you ever, you're far too spiritual, you don't do that. But I was getting, Lord, I don't get it. And I was walking for such a long time thinking, Lord, what's going on? I've got £700 in my pocket. I need to buy a car. I've told you what the kind of car I'd like. And this is crazy. And I began to walk down this little road that was flanked either side by tall conifers. So all I could see was conifers. I felt like I was walking through the cupboard into the land of Narnia. It was kind of like, Lord, I've been walking for hours. You've been telling me this. I don't know what's going on. And I haven't seen a single car that's for sale. And as I came to the end of the clearing, uttering that word, those words out loud, there beside me was a Mark II Vauxhall Astra with a sign saying, for sale, inquire within. It didn't look like that. It was green. Yeah, there it is. So I knock on the door. I say, excuse me, I'd like to buy your car, and I'm wondering how much it is. And the man said, £700. Take my money. Take it. Don't you want to look at it? Oh, yeah, sure. Let's look at it. give me the money back. I bought the car. Now, the more astute of you will know it. Look at it. It's beautiful. A green Mark II Vauxhall Astra, but if the eagle-eyed of you will see that it had a name, Tiffany. Yeah! It's all right. Little screw. Get that off. But she was always Tiffany to me, and I loved that car. I loved it. Right up and until the day it exploded. And we're all here by the grace of God. That's a story for another time. But God, you know, God's interested in your everyday stuff. Yes. The left and the right, the straight on, the roundabout, the junctions, the talking to you, just go this way, just say this thing, just this desire of your heart. He's so interested. Nothing is outside of his interest when it comes to you, because you are his darling. You are his treasured possession. He loves you. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us that we were created for a purpose which he planned for us. Because of that, we can say in faith, Lord God, I don't know what today is going to bring, or the month, or the year. But Lord God, one thing I do know is that you've got a good plan for my life, because you've purposed it, and all you do is good.
Amen.
He loves us, and he wants to lead us in his ways. Literally, he led me to a car with the right amount of money, the right car that I wanted. He led me to it. You know, Psalm 119 says this, and the entrance of your word, O Lord, brings light. Later on it says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know, when God speaks, the way ahead of us illuminates. Now, we like to think that we'll stand at the end of the road and God will light up the whole runway so we can see what it is we're going to. Now, I can only speak for myself. That has happened, but the most likelihood is that sometimes God just lights up the first portion. And as far as I can see, then, Lord, that's as far as I'll walk. Now, Lord Jesus, you've said this will happen. Faith, 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 faith. But it has to find a home. It has to find a place. And it has to find a people who are willing to hear from God and then use it as the weapon. Because when doubt comes, when a voice comes, when you've been walking for 2.5 hours going left and right, that you don't even know which village you're in anymore, that you can suddenly say, but Lord, you said, and he said, I did say, and here it is. It's faith. Amen. Let me turn you to a portion of scripture. 1 Samuel, it's in the Old Testament. Chapter 3. And I want to take a quick look, saying exactly the same things again, but using a different portion of scripture, just so you know that this is all the way through the Bible in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But I want to take a look at God's heart for us and what a right response is to a God who speaks. Is that okay? Let's give you some context of the Old Testament. So we're coming out, if you're reading this in sequence, of the book of Judges. The people of Israel, they have no king. They have no leader. Occasionally, God would raise up a man or a woman to lead them for a season, and they would come through in great victory. But when that man or woman would pass away, the people would again just kind of like just go their own way. And it says this, as you read the end of the book of Judges, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. At the same time, we meet a lovely lady called Hannah who's desperate for a child. And God has said she'd have a child, but it's just not happening. And she's been taunted. Her life is filled with doubt. But God has said she'll have a child. Finally, she has a little baby boy called Samuel. And she's so glad that you read in 1 Samuel chapter 2 this beautiful song of thanksgiving and dedication as she literally says, "And Lord, he's yours for the rest of his life." And she dedicates Samuel to the temple, and she leaves him in the custody of Eli, the high priest. Eli has been the high priest for many years. He's now a very old man. His sight is going, his hearing's going. Things are not in a good place, so much so that his sons, who are also a part of the priesthood, are just downright wicked. So God has said, "I reject them." That's the context. And now we come into 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1, just the first 11 verses. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel arose, went straight to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called." But again Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Let's finish there. Ears will tingle. There are some great scriptures in our Bible, but there are some that just think, "Ooh, that just sounds awesome." Ears will tingle at what God is about to say and do. That passage of scripture tells us, at this time in the history of God's people, there literally was no vision of God. The high priest, the one who everyone would look to as the one who could stand in God's presence, the one who could go into the presence of God on behalf of the people, was himself going blind physically and spiritually. And we find him lying down in his usual place. But Samuel, a boy dedicated unto the Lord, was lying down in the presence of God where the ark of God was. What a contrast. The old which was waning, and the young which was desperate to be in the presence of God. And right here, there's this link between hearing and vision, because if everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, it meant that nobody was listening to God. And because no one was listening to God, God wasn't able to tell them what he was going to do and give them a vision. And the Bible says that where there's no vision, people will perish. Or another version says, people will cast off restraint. And when people cast off restraint, they simply do what's right in their own eyes, and the cycle begins again. What's right in our own eyes? I can't hear God. I've got no vision. I cast off restraint. I do what's right in my own eyes. It goes like this, and it will go like this until somebody will break forth and say, "I want to hear from the Lord on this." Amen. Enter Samuel. If we don't hear, if we don't see what he's doing, then we have nothing to follow. But God looks for someone who can hear. There's about 300 people in this room. There's 300 people who have the opportunity this afternoon, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, to say, Lord God, I want to be like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. Make my ears tingle, Lord. Make them tingle. And of Samuel, his life marks an incredible turnaround in the fortunes of the people of God. When Samuel is born, there's no vision. God is speaking, no one is listening. No one is listening. Enter Samuel. By the end of Samuel's life, what you find is this. There are companies of prophetic people all over the nation, traveling around together as people who hear God and speak out what the Lord says. What a transformation started by one person who was willing to hear. One person who was willing to stay in the presence of God longer than anyone else and say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And this passage of scripture is so rich. There's so much into it. But if I just break it down to very simple three things, it tells me three things. First of all, it's clear to me from reading that scripture that God has always desired to have a clear line of communication with his people. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. He called him by name. He calls us by name. God always wants to speak. The second thing is this. It is possible to be in the house of the Lord and not know his voice. It's possible to go through all the trappings of the priestly paraphernalia and the ceremony, but your eyes are going dim and your ears are closing up and you cannot or you do not know the voice of God. It's possible to be here on a Sunday morning or in a youth group on a Friday or in a life group on a Wednesday or musicians on a Tuesday and all the different things that go on. It's possible to be among God's people and not hear the voice of God. Just to go through the motions, be stuck, trapped by all the trappings of method and miss the person of God speaking to us. But it's also clear as a third thing that it is passion and desire to be in his presence and hear his voice that dictates who can hear the voice of God. Nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with background. Nothing to do with culture. Nothing to do with any of these things. That God does not demarcate, well, yeah, you're eligible, you are ineligible. But the people who don't hear, if I just take Eli and Samuel as two examples, Samuel just longed. He had a passion for the presence of God. He had a passion to stay in the presence. And when God spoke to him and he realized that God was speaking to him, his response was perfect. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So again, this may be you. And you're here this morning, you're thinking, you know what, I've been coming for weeks, I've not really heard God speak. And you can hear testimony, and you can miss it. That's not the voice of condemnation, that's just the voice of, I've been there. That's the voice of, I understand that. But what it takes is this, is to understand, God has given you a measure of faith. That he wants you to know, again and again and again, that he wants to speak to you. He knows everything about your life, and if you will just make time for him, and say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. He'll say, oh, I got to tell you something, says the Lord. It's going to make your ears tingle. Faith. It's time to blow the static away. It's time to cut through all the distractions. I know the busyness of life. I know the pace of life seems to increase and get busier and busier. I was talking with a couple just before the meeting started who are looking to buy housing. The process of moving house should be so simple. I sell it, I buy it. I sell it, I buy it. And then things get in the way like solicitors and red tape and time and money. I think suddenly this simple exchange of houses just go on and on. But God has told him, no, you're moving. And sometimes you just have to blow through all those distractions. Lord, we're moving. That was Zoe and our testimony. God told us we'd move. It took nearly 5 years. Up and down, up and down, up and down. I'll just be very honest. There were times where I didn't think it was going to happen. And I had to just remind myself and beat myself up in the right way to say, come on, Dave, the Lord has said you're moving. Yeah, and we moved. Why? Because the Lord had said it. Yeah. Did it happen the next day? No. It took 5 years. But was God faithful? Yes. Do we love where we live? Yes. He's good all the time. And everything he does is good. For some of us, for all of us, if we will spend time on the dial, this fine tuning, cutting through the static, breaking through the crackles, focusing ourselves on what is right for now and what is not right for now, and giving ourselves to those things that we know the Lord is telling us to do, and just putting aside those things that right now, that's not for me. It creates time where you think, I'm just going to do some fine tuning to hear God's voice. You all hear God's voice. You've all heard God's voice because you came to Christ. You heard a call. You heard a beckoning. You heard a drawing to him, and you responded. How did you respond? You responded in faith. So you all know his voice, but God desires that we would know his voice all the more. But here's the tricky part. There's no magic ceremony. There are no shortcuts like the digging of the foundations of a house, even for this building. We don't think about them every day, but we're so glad they're there. And foundations of building a house, they're dirty and gritty and muddy, and no one ever really sees the good of what you've done because it's all unseen. It's the same for time with the Lord. You know, all the people, you can think about the people you admire. You can think about maybe your parents or people you studied with or elders or ministries or your favorite preacher on TV. You think, wow, I'm so in awe of them. You should know this. They spend a lot of time in prayer. They spend a lot of time in the Word. And you don't see it because that's not what they're like. They're not like, yeah, oh, I'm exhausted after that prayer marathon. But I feel good. How are you doing? Rubbish now. You know, you don't see it, but they carve out time. There are no shortcuts. If you want to learn his voice, it's time, it's relationship. When you meet the lady that you want to marry, men, you will have to invest time into that relationship. Ladies, when you meet the man you want to spend the rest of your life with, you'll have to give time to that relationship. It doesn't just happen like that. You have to get to know them. How do you do that? It's time. And other stuff goes so that time can be made. And here it is, very simply. These are things which Jesus did. Prayer. We need to be a people that make time to pray. Now, all these things that I'm going to put up there, you think, I just need some help with that. I agree with that. I just don't know how to do that. Can I just say there is help here for anybody who wants it? Just come and see us. Come and see us. See your life group leader. See your youth leader. Come and see an elder. Come and speak to someone. We're a family, and families help one another. Don't go under away under a cloud of condemnation. I know I need to pray, but I just don't know what that means or what that looks like or how to do it. Come and see us. Why? Because we've been there. And people have helped us, and now we want to help. But Jesus made time to pray. He stepped aside from a busier schedule. The man, when he walked on this planet, who was the busiest man ever. Not a quiet moment. He had to carve out time to disappear. Why? To pray. Because he knew that he had to see what his Father was doing. And he said, I can only judge by what I hear. How did he do that? He drew aside and he had time with God. The second thing is this. We need to be people of the Word. It's as simple as that. I know we're reading through the Bible in the year, and someone said at Life Group, and of course, we're just reading into Judges now. And there was a little hush that kind of went... And that silence spoke. That silence said, I know I'm supposed to be in Judges. I may still be in Genesis. Okay? Don't worry about plans. If they don't work for you, they don't work for you. We just want to encourage you, be people of the Word. If you think, that's right, I'm going to get the Word, and I haven't read the Word for 7 months, but today I'm going to go home and I'm going to read the book of Jeremiah. You're probably going to fail. But... if you can come in faith and say, I haven't read the Bible for such a long time, I need some help, I'll say, here's a psalm to read. I'll read that every day this week, and a desire will begin to feed itself. Think, well, I read that psalm, but on the third day I thought I might just read the next psalm. And I enjoyed that one as well. You know, it was very much like the first psalm, and it made me feel great. So read the third psalm. That's how it begins. Just feed yourself. There is help here. We are going to do some more teaching on this in the days ahead. But the third thing is this. We need to be a people who speak in tongues. God has given us a gift, but equally he has given us a weapon. Yes. That is called the gift of speaking in tongues. You can read about this in Acts chapter 2. We're not going to say any more about it now. But other than this, if you want to know more about it, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that is how you get the gift, it is a free gift. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and said, this is for everyone, not of age or background or culture or race or distinction or anything at all. It's not by merit. It's a gift. And with a gift just like chocolate this morning for Mother's Day, you just have to say thank you and devour it. You've got to put it to use. But God wants us to be people who fine-tune, okay? That's all I want to say, and now we're going to pray. Has the word come across? God wants you to know he's a God who speaks. And God wants us to know, he wants us to be a people who hear. Okay? Now I'm going to ask you all to stand, and I'm simply going to pray. If you desire to hear God's voice, then I'm going to pray for you. If you know God's voice, I'm going to pray for you because he wants to say more things. I believe we live in the days where God says, I want to make your ears tingle again. Amen. You know what the tingle was that God said to Samuel? It was this. He had rejected a priestly house which was based on generation after generation of natural order. He said, that's not the way I'm going to do it anymore. This is going to make you tingle, Samuel. I'm going to choose anyone who's got faith to hear my voice. If you have faith to hear God's voice this morning, you'll hear him. You'll hear him speak as clearly as you can hear my voice now. And tomorrow, with whatever you do, as you get in the car to drive to work or walk to work or see friends or go to school or you're with your parents or wherever you may find yourself, you can know the voice of God, even though it's not a Sunday. But it's still God's day. Okay? He's speaking all the time. So if you'd like to hear his voice, if you'd like to say, Lord Jesus, I'm just responding in faith. I believe you are a God who speaks. I want you to be a person. I want you, Lord, to know that I'm a person who wants to hear. Speak, Lord, for your servant who's listening. Just raise your hands and close your eyes. I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to lay hands on anyone. I'm not going to ask you to come out to the front. I'm simply leaving this up to you to reach out to God, to use your measure of faith to say, I will hear from the Lord. And this week I'm going to walk with the Lord closer than I've ever walked with him before. Why? Because he is a God who speaks, and I am a man or woman of faith who hears. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I want to say thank you, Lord God, and I want you to know, even as we started from looking at that scripture in Romans 15, we trust you, Lord. And now, Lord God, according to your word, I want to say thank you that as we put our trust in you, you will fill us, God of hope, with all joy and all peace, so that by your Holy Spirit, we will overflow with hope to all those around us. We want to say thank you, Lord God, you are a God who speaks. I want to say thank you, Lord God, there's not a situation, Lord God, in anyone's life who's here or listening to my voice right now that you are not fully aware of. But Lord God, your word will bring light on that situation. Lord Jesus, you will shine a light on their path and show them how to walk. Why? Because you are a good God and you are a speaking God. Now I pray for every ear. Yes. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you. It is your deep desire to have fellowship with us. I want to say thank you, Lord God, that you sent your son to die for us, not so that we could just fall in line and do what you say, but Lord God, out of a loving relationship and a desire, Lord God, to be faithful to you, we would want to spend time with you. I pray for everyone who can say, that's me, Lord Jesus, as you see hands raised right now, Lord God, just as you put your fingers in the deaf people's ears and you literally took them out and they heard, Lord Jesus, right now, by speak a word of faith, I say, ears be open right now. I say, spiritual ears, come alive in the name of Jesus. And know this, that as you spend time with him, as you speak to him, as you call to him, as you pray to him, and as you wait in silence before him, as you lift up the word and read it aloud, as you lift up the word and keep it in your heart, as you listen to the songs and you sing songs of praise, says the Lord, I will speak such a word of truth to you, even this day and even this week, that your ears will begin to tingle and I will begin a thirst that will just cause you to be thirsty for more and more and more and more of my presence, because I, says the Lord, I am the God who speaks, you are my people who hear, and it's time for the ears of the world to tingle. So Lord Jesus, as you see hands lifted, thank you that ears have been opened. Now Lord Jesus, we go away with our heads lifted up. Lord God, our shoulders back, under no cloud of condemnation about how we've been until this point, but going forward we say, Lord Jesus, we will spend time with you. We will pray with you. We will read our word. Lord, we will speak in tongues. Lord Jesus, we will fellowship with believers. Lord Jesus, we will give ourselves to everything that you have for us. Why? Because you are a good God. And everything you do is good. You are a speaking God. And we will hear your voice. in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Church, have a great week. God is for you. He is not against you.